get humbled. It's like when you think you're the man, you know, you press a few things, you think you're the man, you think you know all the tricks, and then you end up getting with a ting that maybe like you think is less experienced, like whatever. I know my ting's just like on fire, and she's like, nah, do you mind just slowing it down a little bit? Like, do you mind slowing down? Like when your lips is a bit too quick, you're like, damn.
No, but that's how it is, you know, like, and even like just in general, like don't judge a book by its cover. Like a lot, I guess like a lot of men always make up stories, and I guess like women do the same thing as well. But like in particular, I'll talk from a man's perspective because I'm around a lot of men, and you know, it's, I'm hearing their experiences as well as mine. But they make up a lot of these like images around like, oh, like she's this, she's that, whatever. And then sometimes in the bedroom, all of that leaves. All of those things just fly out the window, and they're not existing anymore. Just on the like the message like, "Hi stranger, you're so annoying." Is there any other ones that comes to your mind? I'm just thinking. I'm not even sure like if I know any other ones.
Messages, I have to think about. But what I heard recently is, you know, when like you're chatting to a girl and she just goes quiet. Like I'm at that age now where I'm not chasing you to ask like why. I'm just like, oh, do you know what? This is just life. This just happens with girls sometimes. And then they pop up like a month later. Oh, babe, I'm so sorry. You're going to be pissed off with me. Or they try to call you. And you never even spoken on the phone. But they try to call you. They try to do like the most extravagant stuff.
Yeah.
And there's always a story or a situation.
What do you think happens in that scenario? Because there has to be something. There has to be something that's triggered or like something that's happened. So I'm not. That's
a good question.
I don't want to like. Say this is the scenario, I'll just give an example. Like maybe like they were in a situationship or something. And at that time maybe they said, you know what, I'm not gonna make time for this guy, this new guy that's maybe messaging me or trying to reach out to me. And then that thing ends. There might be a bit of pain, you know, a bit of like emotional discomfort around something that, you know what, that's the guy. Let me shout out this guy.
I used to think my eyes really got opened before my last relationship. The way that girls date is completely different now to when I was like young, like when I was like 21, stuff like that, uni. It all seemed like all girls only were interested in talking to one guy and that was it. Then like a few years later, the whole dating game has changed. Like girls always still have the exes around. They still got that guy that they're seeing. They got another man taking them to dinner and stuff like that. So it's really, kind of have to be like the best of the options that they've got really. But I think the strong pull is the ex, because the ex hasn't just got maybe the physical connection, but also the emotional connection as well. If he's still lingering around and is maybe selling her dreams, then that's why I think a girl usually goes quiet. But also, with girls recently, like sometimes it's just like they're talking about their mental state a lot. And that was like a new one. That's a couple of girls have said that, like, it's like this mental disorder that I've got, or I just not mentally with it. I had to come up with all my socials and stuff like that. But I don't know, because these are still sometimes the same things that you see, like, out at race and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I just leave them to it. Don't get too emotionally attached if she's not giving you the same effort and attention back.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, man. I don't know, as of recently, I'm not saying it's a trend, and I think probably it's a good thing, but it seems like a lot of women are doing therapy as well. Like, it's just whenever I'm just like, and like I think for me, like I'm learning how to become a bit more open-minded to it. But I think automatically in the past, I would just suddenly go like my like Spider-Man alert things just start going wild. Yeah, I don't know. You know the Spider-Man thing? Spider sense. Yeah, Spider sense. Yeah. But it started like not going off, but like it was just like a default response to like, oh, what's going on there? Because like, you know, I feel like sometimes, especially if someone's doing it for such a long time, you know, like sometimes some people just, they've done like therapy for like 3-6 months, worked out with them. But someone's doing it, like been doing it for years continuously, I'm a bit like.
Well, you got to question the value of the therapist.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
Is their
intention just to continue making money, or is their intention genuinely to help the person? I know for me, in my higher value coaching program, which is a transformation package, it's a 3-month program. Yeah, and then I say, do your 3 months, and then after that, if you want sessions, just book a session every single time you fancy, like a one-off session. You don't have to do another block, because the whole idea is that you'll now have the tools after that 3-month program to figure out how to set goals, to figure out how to get yourself out of a rut, to figure out how to get more success in life.
Bro.
So, yeah, I question it when it's been going on over 6 months, especially every year.
Yeah, bro, that's a really good point. And also just like, there's so much I want to jump into right now. But just before we do that, so far, obviously, the audience has been listening to where we've got to now. Just for context, like, who are you? Like, just like, what do you do? And just let people know a bit more about yourself.
Yeah, definitely, man. Thank you. So Nathan Essen, owner of Step Up Coaching. So I am a certified performance coach and self-development expert. And my business is all about helping men open up, overcome their limitations, and become the best versions of themselves.
Mm.
So yeah, man, that's what I do. I work full time as well, so I do that outside of working hours. So I'm spending a lot of my time now coaching people or working on the business, developing the business. So it's been a busy year, just started at the start of the year, but a good year at that.
Yeah, it's a great journey, man. And I said this last time, so some people might not be aware, we actually shot an episode before with Nathan a while back. The camera broke, so we lost the footage. We debated whether we should just put out his audio or should we just reshoot. I think reshooting makes a lot more sense. And the conversation we're having now is amazing anyways.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's a big plus. Do you get a lot... So the people that you work with, do you ever get a lot of heartbroken guys come to you? Because I'm thinking sometimes there might be like a pattern of like... people you might be working with at the time, maybe they just come out of a relationship or something. Like there'll be people that will be seeking that help or that support at that time.
Yeah, so the guys that come to me stereotypically are just very kind of like just stuck in a rut. It's not just, and this is the reason why, I know a lot of coaches say, you know, you need to like have a like a super, super niche down product or service. But the problem is men are struggling in so many different areas. Like a lot of men don't even know what it is to be a man anymore. So it's never just the fact that they're not financially where they want to be. It's the fact that they haven't had a missus for a little while and they've got approach anxiety. It's the fact that they haven't been in the gym for a couple of years and they want to get back into the gym. It's a whole host of things, all centered around self-development. So it's definitely usually guys that just aren't where they want to be in life.
Yeah. Do you know what? I love the fact that you're pointing out like such small... like things that might seem like they're easy to do, but it could be very difficult for someone that's like taking the first step into those things. So, for example, like I know for me and you, it would be like, well, at least like for me, I'm changing my perspective around it. But I used to think like, yeah, because I'm so used to going gym or like doing certain things, I'm like, yeah, everyone else can do that too. But I mean, that's for some people, actually, it's not true. Like for some people, that's a big thing. And I started recognizing it. And it's only by recognizing that then I can actually have a normal conversation with people to go, actually, how could you get into those particular things? Because like, yeah, like sometimes those things, like we might laugh at people, go, oh, you can't do this. But actually it's a big thing for them.
Yeah, people lack discipline, right? And discipline's a hard thing to master because it's doing something repetitively that might not be fun. You're doing it every single day to better yourself. It's like Jordan Peterson says about, you know, making up your bed. And it sounds so simple to people that make up your bed. But if someone's so used to just leaving it in a rush, they're always late to work and whatnot, and then their boss isn't happy and it has a negative effect, and not focused at work and whatnot. To get somebody to do such a small step at the start is actually a great step because it's progress. And it's leading on to more behaviour that will happen again and again and again. And then you can go and attack the next goal and the next goal. I always say, step up coaching, I always say start small. So we'll start off with a small goal. And then it's about building and building and building. Let the confidence rise. Build that winning mindset.
It's like if you want to go to the gym, pack your bag first and put on your trainers and it's just those small little steps.
1,000%, man.
Yeah.
Start off light in the gym.
Yeah, 100%. Do you know what it is? That's what like a lot of people nowadays that ask me, like obviously like I'm still like in a stage where like I'm burning fat or whatever, but my body's like changing. I'm toning everything and all of that stuff. But then people always ask me, oh, what's your program? What do you do in the gym? I just told them like the things they want to hear. I told them I do the same shit every single day. And they go like, what do you mean? Like I say basically what I do, I compound, right? So like I started off small. So obviously I'm not going to give the whole history. Like I've been in combat sports, this, that, I've trained in different ways and whatever. But what worked for me really well in the last 2 years is compounding. So for example, I'll give you an example. 2 years ago, maybe my warm up was 5 minutes, light work. 5 minutes, anyone can do that. 10 pull-ups, I don't know, 20 press-ups. Go home. Like, you know, anyone can do that. And then over 2 years now, I'm hitting, like, don't know, 60 pull-ups with like weighted, like 30 kilos, weighted this, that, whatever. Then this, but all of that was every single week, I gradually increased the time for warm-up. I increased the intensity for something else, how many reps I do. Small. And bro, like it's compounded. So it's more about this, people get this thing of like, you have to go and go mad. Actually, you need to build a routine and just like stay consistent with something and let it compound.
Yeah, and it's, you can relate it to dating, you can relate it to anything. You can relate it to fitness. People really only care about the finished product.
Mm.
And they want to know exactly what the finished product done. And they think, if I do exactly what the finished product done, I will be like that.
Mm.
But they don't understand the grind that it took. They don't care about the, you know, the effort it took to get there, the, you know, the uncomfortable gym sessions and whatnot, the trials and tribulations, things that worked, the things that didn't work. Yeah, there's a lot to it. And I think a lot of the time as well, people just want such quick results.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not as simple as that.
No, it's even after 2 years ago, I was like, yo, like, this is still like, it's still pro, like I'm still progressing. Like it's not.
1000%, man. I'm still learning so much more about the gym. Now, I've been training since 16. Obviously, I was inconsistent from probably 16 to 24, but I've been consistent, super consistent, especially over the last few years. And I'm still learning so much more about the gym, learning so much more about my muscle connection.
Yeah, and you're also learning about yourself, like just on a personal development level.
100%. I'm not going to there to try and lift the biggest weights anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not going there to just pump up and try and be like huge. Like now, I'm like, nah, I just want to put on lean muscle. Let me just slow down my reps. Let me just do negatives and whatnot. Let me make sure I don't get injured, but I'm still lifting effectively.
Yeah. I call it the growth incubator. That's my new phrase for it. Mental and physical. I
like that.
Yeah, the growth incubator. Like, if it was called that, I think everyone would be signing up for it.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? But I also see some gyms. Obviously, I don't go to like any bougie gyms. I go to like a PR gym, you know, Grimy, whatever. Actually, the one I go to is quite nice. You know what's really funny? I've been to bougie gyms before.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the energy that I don't like. It's just a bit like people that are there, like the corporate people, they're like, I'm not, nothing against corporate people, by the way. If you lot want business, just reach out. I'm joking. But like a lot of them are just like, they just do light stuff. And when I go there, the energy's a bit like, we're just here for the vibes kind of thing.
Yeah, showy.
Yeah, when I go PR gym, you know, especially some, there's another gym called Muscle Works in Bethnal Green. I don't know if you've heard of it, yeah? Like, I go there, the energy is different. Everyone's just there to lift, like I'm feeding up people's energy, man. You know what I'm saying? So I really like those like jokey, yeah, go there and sit in a sauna for like 30. It's cool, but I'm like, what's that doing for you? Like
that's a great point. People find it mad when I tell them that like my gym doesn't have a sauna. I've been going to the gym group for years. And people are like, oh, you go to the gym? I'm like, yo, my gym used to be £12 a month. I'm living, it's gone up to like £18 now. It's right in the town center. I can get home easily. I've got a car park nearby. It's just so easy. Like I can go to the gym, head to train for the day on like, if I'm going up to London and whatnot. And yeah, as you said, like it's just, it's a basic gym. But you know, I can get in and out in an hour, hour and a half, whatever it may be. If I'm going to a sauna, there's no way I'm going to the gym 5 times a week.
Yeah.
It's going to make me lazy and
that's
comfortable.
It's long.
I don't ever want to go to a gym.
Yeah.
If I'm on holiday, I'm relaxing, then yeah, but not on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I think the only way I would do that is like, it'd have to be something like, I don't know, it's like Shoreditch House. But it's like, it has to be something where like, if I'm, let's say like, obviously at the moment I work from an office somewhere, but if I was to like have my own thing where I'm working from home all the time or whatever, I'd probably just pay a membership there, go there, work there, train. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes more sense to have something more bougie when you like, you're going to spend more time at that place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just, it kind of defeats the purpose. But yeah, man. Anything on, because obviously one of the things we discussed last time was mental health. And actually, I've got a question on mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do we like, or from your perspective, how do we measure mental health or how should we measure mental health? Because it's till this day, for me personally, the reason I'm asking this question, I'm still trying to figure that out. I have some answers, but like, it's been such a topic where it's just, there's a lot of different perspectives and studies and this. And I think we haven't got it figured out yet.
We haven't. And this is something that needs to get expressed to kids as well, because they're just latching onto these buzzwords now. I hate to say it because I'm in the profession myself.
Toxic.
And
gaslighting.
Even does anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
It's so overused now for things that you're not really actually clinically depressed about.
Is it
right?
Become more accepted?
It's become more thrown around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and accepted. And the way to really measure it, and this is what people need to understand, like, being anxious is a natural reaction that everybody's going to go through at points in their lives. You could be the most confident person in the world. I consider myself a confident guy. You're probably a very confident guy as well. When I used to go into job interviews, I was nervous. If I'm going to go do a presentation, if I'm going to go do public speaking, I'm going to be anxious. Yeah. That's because I'm put in a situation where I'm slightly uncomfortable. It's a big challenge. Don't know if I can do it. You're going to doubt yourself and whatnot. Or being depressed, for example. I'm, you know, I could say I'm depressed about, you know, the fact that things don't work with me and my ex. Where the difference lies is if it's affecting you over a long period of time. If it's the same issue that's affecting you over a long period of time, that's when you need to go seek help. But understanding that you're not depressed just because you feel crap about something one day. Wake up, go to the gym, and then everything's fine. You're not depressed.
Yeah.
You're sad about a situation.
Yeah, that's completely normal. Like, it's just, like, human beings are funny. It's like the moment they start feeling sad or something, they're like, something's wrong. Like, and I think as people, we need to learn how to how to let the emotions just run. Like I know, like, there's times where I feel down on a couple of days and whatever, but I know that for me, like, it's not permanent, right? So it's like, I use this breakdown all the time. I don't know if it's a factual thing, but I like it. Emotion, so energy in motion. What is the energy that's in motion at the moment? Because the emotions change all the time, innit? So, you know, one day I might be sad, but I think people can also be sad or angry, maybe might have been the right word, but like sad or happy or a couple other different emotions while also being content. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can still be sad, I can still be content, but sad at the same time.
Of course.
And there's not, and I think I always take the inner peace, the contentness, over anything else, because that's the foundation. Then it helps me ride other emotions in a better way.
That's a great point. And that's how you become truly happy, right? Happiness is derived by being content with where you are and being proud of that and being secure in that. The thing about maybe even a successful person, right, is you can have all the success in the world. What do people want? They want more. You go move into the house that you've always dreamed about. Now you want an extension. You need to focus on the main things. How are the kids feeling? How is this? How is that? Are you really putting as much time as you should be into your wife? Seeing your friends, meaningful relationships. Yeah, I think being content with where you are is a true way of being happy.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's this, what was it called again? There's this thing of, like, there's a saying of happiness lies in the work we don't want to do. And then it's interesting, I remember that because he was talking about, like, things that you might have done that was outside your comfort zone. And it's like, sometimes those are the things that we don't want to do because we feel anxious, we feel like this, or a particular type of way. But actually, when I think about my life, like, all the best things in my life happen outside my comfort zone. There's nothing in my life that happened in my, well, there's maybe a few things, but, like, usually there's nothing in my life that's happening in my comfort zone. That was the most amazing thing. So it includes, like, meeting new people, maybe outside my comfort zone. Like, maybe going to a new place outside my comfort zone. But when I think about what those things done for me, it's all the best things that's happened in my life. I can literally just to highlight all the things that was outside my comfort zone.
Well, they say, don't you, like, as a man, you need to go through hardship to become a better man. And I think it's true. When you've gone through something difficult, you learn not to be overly emotional about everything. Because you're like, wow, that was tough. I'm not going to go cry about something I see in the news because I've gone through something that was really, really tough.
Yeah.
And another point, a pretty good analogy I put together, right, is, and this relates to this conversation, is it's much better to create a heaven out of your hell instead of a hell out of your heaven. And basically what that means is it's much better to find joy in uncomfortable situations, which is going to get you to where you want to be, which is the 5 a.m. run, which is the uncomfortable five gym workouts that you're doing a week, which is, you know, the extra hours that you're going to have to put into work. That's going to get you to a greater place and going to give you the outcomes which you desire, rather than stuff like instant gratification, like access porn, excess junk food, excess video games, which is just distracting you from just feeling depressed and just living a life of quiet depression. You're just living to be alive. You're not happy with life. And the only joy that you get is because certain news come out on Netflix and stuff like that. You're distracting yourself because you're not truly happy with who you are.
Yeah, it's just coping mechanisms, right? Like, I might have mentioned this last time in the shoot that we didn't put out, but a friend of mine like helped me like see something in a very different perspective. And he was talking about coping mechanisms, right? You know, some people smoke, some people drink, do drugs, or you know, junk food, like all these different things. But people don't see it as that. They just think that there's the habits, that this, whatever. But essentially what he was talking about is he was saying like, look, there's also positive coping mechanisms. So like gym, obviously. But the most interesting fact that he pointed out, well, a fact for me anyways, it's not a fact for everyone else maybe, but for me it's a fact. I could relate to that, is that he was saying even though gym is a positive coping mechanism, it's just a coping mechanism. The foundation of the problem is still there. So even if I'm going to gym, I'm doing all these other different positive things, it's good for me because I'm dealing with it in a positive way, sustainable way, but the problem sometimes can still be there. And I was like, wow, man, like that's fascinating. Like that's fascinating.
That's a great point. But that's the reason why I'm so big on you need a coach or you need a support network. You need, as men, this is something that men really need to learn. Being just a hyper-masculine man is not a good thing. Because if you're a super, super, super overly hyper-masculine man, you're probably a crap dad because you haven't got that emotional connection. You can't really connect with your kids like that and, you know, have those deep conversations because you're just so, in your hyper-masculine. It's so important to open up to people that you trust. Not just anyone. I'm not an advocate of some girl that you just dated for a few months, you really like her, so you're going to tell her your whole life story and all your darkest secrets. But you need a group of men or a group of just like very, very close friends that truly can listen to you. And you need to get stuff off your chest. We all need to. It's so, so key. Like I went to my first breakup, my first girlfriend, I remember. I broke up with her. We got back together. She broke up with me. And then I was in this job that I hated, recruitment. So I'm in recruitment, hate it. My boy's like, look, you came to Ibiza last time, this time come to Ibiza, work with me, you'll make good money. Went to Ibiza, made good money, went to Thailand, I'm living the life. I'm like 23, I think 22, just living the life. Girls, partied, everything like that. And I still wasn't happy. I still wasn't happy internally. And I realised that towards the end of Thailand, because I still felt a way about things, the way things ended with my first missus.
Because you haven't addressed the foundation and you haven't,
I just acted like it was cool and acted like it was fine and distracted myself by everything that has Ibiza has to offer.
Of course.
And it's still, because all you're doing is suppressing.
Yeah.
Suppressing it. You need to address it, to overcome it.
Need to feel it, understand it, explore it. And I was literally going to say the same thing, like when you started talking, you were saying like people need something, like, you know, they need a coach and they need someone, like people actually need someone to process some of those things, because if they don't have that, they'll just cope with it and it's just the problem is always going to be there, you know?
And us men as well, like we're bad at this. I know my thing was probably drinking too much on a night out and stuff like that. But as men, because at least with women, even if they're struggling to find people to open up to, because they're more in touch with their emotions, they will. They will just speak to people.
Yeah.
And women will be more willing to understand, or they'll be easier to approach about those kind of conversations. Whereas men, we'll just try to ignore it. Think about men. Men don't even like to go to the doctors. Men just like to just go through life and power through. And the problem is, it's always going to come out in self-sabotage behaviours. You're going to get snappy. You're going to go do stupid things. And yeah, so it's always going to come out somewhere. As much as you might try to act like it's not a problem, it's always going to come out.
Yeah, I think that's what happened with me. This is a while back now. I think maybe like 3 years ago or something, like 2.5 years. But essentially, I was going for like this breakup. But then what happened after, it's like, you know, like people say, turn me into a savage and whatever. It didn't turn me into shit. Like, I just chose to like deal with it in a certain way. So what's happened is that I was literally doing all of that stuff. I was being ignorant towards how I felt about it. So just partying, dating, this, that, da-da-da, whatever. Mm. And then I think only in the last, like I could say, like, in the last year, like a year ago, I've finally, like, reached that peak of, like, I've processed it now. Mm. And when I realize my behavior started changing, it's like, less parties, this, that. So now, if, like, if I am partying, it's for different reasons.
Yeah.
Not because I need to suppress something. And, like, everything just shifted. It's like, I felt like I almost had myself back. That yeah. I was just kind of parked somewhere for a while.
That's beautiful, man. Mm. Because you're doing it because you now want to do it. You're not doing it because you feel like you have to.
Yeah, and yeah, yeah.
Trust me, I can relate to that so much. Like, in June, I partied my ass off nonstop every single weekend. Then this, that, all the way up until, what are we now? November, well, December now.
Yeah, December now.
Like,
yeah.
Literally, November was my first time I had, like, or October, the first time I had, like, 3 weekends off.
Yeah.
And now it's like I've got to that point, and it's still, bro, I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I'm fully, you know, got over the situation.
Yeah.
But it's like I'm now picking and choosing my battles, which makes you happy, because when you're just going out, going out, going out, it just becomes repetitive. You end up thinking to yourself, you know, after the night out.
Yeah.
You know, like we say as men, post nut clarity.
Yeah, post nut clarity, yeah.
You think to yourself, like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What am I doing? No, you feel like crap for a few days.
Definitely. And do you know what? There is this thing of like I do look at it from a slightly different point of view, not from yours, but just in general. Like, I think there is like elements of like partying creates like the whole like first interactions, and like it's just a different kind of vibe. And obviously, but like, yeah, if someone's doing it like a lot and they're doing it for different reasons, then yeah, that's unhealthy. Yeah, man, it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Yeah, because it's like, it's not even always just about going and talking to girls. Sometimes you just like want to be out with your boys. Yeah. You want to just distract yourself, right?
Yeah.
You want to distract yourself from the real situation that's going on. The fact that you feel crap about the situation. So you want to be out, you want to be around people, you want to be drinking, you want to get to a tipsy level and whatnot. Yeah. But you want to start, I think personally, you want to party for the right reasons.
Yeah. So do you know what's interesting? Like, also for me, that there's been a big shift, and like, I used to hear people say, yeah, I'm going to enjoy the music. And I'm like, I never used to understand it. I'm like, what do you mean you're going to enjoy the music or this or that? Because I was going out for different purposes. I'm going out for girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm out there. So that was like never like I'm going to enjoy the music. But I think until that, like, last year, I've kind of like started going to events where like I'm really enjoying the vibe in the music. And I wasn't, let's say, like, interested in like just, you know, getting someone at night or just getting someone's number. Like, I would literally just go to events, just enjoy myself, and I go home. I was like, that's lit, that's growth. You know what I'm saying? That's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, if I'm single at that time and I do, like, you know, get a number or whatever, I might go on a date with this or whatever, that's a bonus, right? But like, I wasn't looking for it. It was just a different experience.
Yeah, man. And I'd say, like, the worst thing, like, let's admit we've all been there, we've just gone out for girls, but the worst thing is like put in your importance and value of the night in girls, because what happens when it doesn't happen?
Yeah.
And you feel like crap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, shit, it's a failure. Like,
exactly, man.
Especially, Mandem are bad as well, you know, like, they put pressure on each other. They're like, yeah, like, oh, this,
oh,
yeah.
100%. That's still, I could say, like, I've matured and I'm wise now, 29, I'm coaching people, but I'm still human, and my boys are still like that. Like, when I'm with my single group boys, like, who's going to do this weekend? Who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's just what we're like. That's what we're like.
Yeah.
But, I feel like the value of the night internally should be on having a sit time with the boys.
Yeah.
You know, as you said, the music, the vibes. Yeah. And if that happens, it's a Brucey bonus.
No, definitely.
And it will happen as well when you're not looking for it. It will happen most. You know, like when you're in a relationship,
And then it's just
so many things come up to you.
I don't know what it is.
I know what it is.
Do you know what's really interesting though? So I've done this. I was in this program for like 5 months. Yeah. So I was going every Friday, and then for some reason I can't remember what it was. There was somehow, because the program had nothing to do with like dating or anything like that, but somehow the conversation came about around a guy just brought up. So he said, so I'm in a group setting. So there's like 30 people. Like, we were sitting in a circle and just having conversations about different things and whatnot. So, but somehow this guy brought up this thing around saying, why is it when I'm going to places with a girl that more girls are like just, they're looking at me, they're this, they're whatever, whatever. So obviously, like, we knew, like, I knew from experience, I've experienced that before. I've seen other people experience it before, but I've never like I've never heard of a woman's perspective. A woman confirm it, and there was a lady sitting there. And she's like, yeah, she's like, it's a thing. Like for some reason, and she said it from her perspective. She said, for some reason, when I see a guy with a woman, like I feel like this guy's got something that potentially I can be attractive. Like there's something there that they want to investigate.
Yeah, that's beautiful because I've watched so many podcasts and women never ever admit the uncomfortable truth. And it is true. Like they never, oh, that's not me. Oh, why would a girl do that?
I was really surprised. And I think maybe the setting's different. You know, there's no cameras, there's no nothing. So it's like, and I think with that group in particular, it's like the things that we're doing, there was so much trust built up. There's so much like connection between the group. So people were honest and authentic about things. So she had no reason to lie. But yeah, like, and she said it, and I think a couple other ones kind of confirmed it. Like, yeah. One was just a bit like, I'm not sure. But I was just like, that's the first time when I heard it. I was like, wow, this is interesting. Like, I've never heard that from a woman's perspective.
Yeah, that is super interesting because I've never heard that. But from my personal experience and seeing my boys in the exact same situations and the way that girls move, for me, it feels like it's a fact because I've just seen it and experienced it so much. And I think it's that element of having something that you can't have. I think for girls as well, let's admit, it's not like us blokes. Like, getting girls isn't easy. I know some people make it look easy because they're probably exceptionally good at it, but it's not easy. Whereas for women, it's easy to pull a man. So it's a bit like, oh, a bit attracted to something I can't have. Sometimes it's a bit like, oh, okay, he's with a girl. He must be doing something right. She's a good looking girl. Okay, I'm interested. Then I've had a few drinks as well, so their inhibitions are out the window. And then also, there's an element of, and I know people don't like to admit this, but we're all competing. We're all competing for people.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, you know, earlier, like way down the line when we started this pod, you were talking about sometimes some women got like the exes and whatever, and they're sometimes mixed up in all of that stuff. And that's reminding me of the thing of like, may the best man win. you know what I'm saying? Like, if they may the best man win, because like, there's like two different free exes or whatever. And if she's like, between like, she's going to pick the person that's going to win, right? Like,
100%.
At the end of the day, which is like really, really interesting. Yeah.
You've seen it, man. You see what it's like. Especially in some of the Afro-Caribbean raves, let's say. Sometimes it's like the Hunger Games.
Listen.
When the two baddies come through, everyone is on it.
Bro, listen, all I know is like, which year was it? Must have been 2000. No, COVID was 2020, right? I think it was like 2020.
Yeah.
I think 2018 or 2019, Afro Nation, man. I've heard stuff about that one particular one. And I heard it was going off. Like, it was really, really wild down there. It was like Wild Wild West.
Yeah, my boys went to that. They said it's a mad.
Yes, I'm still due to go to Afro Nation at some point. Haven't experienced it yet. But yeah, man. I had another point, but it's just left my head. If it comes back to me, I'll let you know.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because I've always prided myself on the fact that I like to think, right? And this is what's beautiful about life. Like, you're always learning stuff about yourself. I would always like to say that I don't compete for girls. Like, she either likes me or she doesn't. I'm not about the chase. I know some men love the chase. I'm not about the chase because in my mind, and this is a bit of a controversial opinion, is in my opinion, yeah, however bad the girl is, if she truly is into that guy, like, things are going to happen quite quickly.
Yeah.
If you're having to do the chase and this and that, probably just means that she's not into you that much.
Yeah.
Probably means that, like, she thinks there's potential in you, but I'm not attracted to you.
Yeah, there's something missing. Yeah, that's the truth. I think if they really liked someone, and I think sometimes some man got this like stupid perspective, like, yeah, maybe I can do something that will make her like me or whatever.
Money.
Like, and yeah, I hear that. And but a lot of the times there isn't. A lot of times there isn't as well. It's just like, I think at the end of the day, people need to just accept that people are attracted to different people.
And we're
not always going to be everyone's, like, the same cup of tea, you know? Like, that's just the truth.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's why I'm huge on men. Not complaining about the way that women are now, the modern women and this and that. Accept it for what it is. Accept the traits that women are attracted to. And if you want to have more success in dating and whatnot, or want to be more attractive, then find more success and happiness in your career. Start going to the gym and get yourself in shape. Start putting yourself in situations where you need to speak to girls to be more socially competent. You know, like, do all of these things because that is what women are attracted to. Don't complain about it. Just do it. Like the Nike slogan.
And then they make the mistakes as well, right? Like, fuck up. Like, obviously not intentionally, but like, if you fuck up and you're like, cool, I said the wrong thing, then just know that this is not a thing that you carry over into the next interaction.
Exactly.
Because that's not something that worked.
We've all been there. I remember when I used to go to school, I was at a private school. And I had the image of the kind of the man that I wanted to be. I see the way my dad was. Don't get me wrong, my dad's still married to my mum, happily married. But, you know, confident, loud, like funny guy. And, you know, I was getting invited to parties in year seven and what. And I had that stupid, like, mindset. Where I was like, oh, I'm not the only black guy at a party. My mates are pulling. Like, and the girl's even going to like me, which is a sad mindset, but it's completely understandable.
You're
the odd one out, let's admit. But guess what? You have to get yourself in those uncomfortable situations, going to nappy nightclubs, dancing with girls, get rejected. And then the longer that you take your L's, the more resilient you're going to become and the less it's going to happen as you age.
Also, just for the context, I agree with you. I think it's the younger, everyone should start from the younger, like, me personally, like, I started a bit late in my life.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting because I've adjusted to that real quick. Like, real quick. It didn't take me too long. I've adjusted to the real. I think it's maybe because I really had an understanding of it. Yeah, I don't want to say it's common sense because, like, common sense is not common. But, like, I feel like, yeah, I guess people are different. Like, just people adjust to things.
Question for you.
Yeah.
So what do you think was the difference in you... all that happened at later in life, because this could be really inspiring for people that you know, because a lot of men are struggling in this department.
Yeah,
a lot of men.
So,
like, what would you say is the difference between you being like, okay, cool, so now I just need to get it done. I know what I need to do. Let's make it happen. Then a lot of men that are just like, oh no, I've just got so much fear of, you know, going up to a girl and getting rejected and this and that.
I'll be honest with you. For me, there's three particular things. Yeah. Number one is, obviously, I come from boxing and martial arts background, so I've been doing my Thai, so I think I build that resilience from combat sports. So obviously that's not something I can just say, yeah, everyone can just have that. If someone did combat, like real martial arts, like they will know there's a level of resilience. So like if you do that, it's just the confidence is different. It's like when it comes to, like, you know, in my Thai, like they say, like, you're getting low kicked or whatever, like you're breaking down physically. So you need to have that resilience. The other thing as well is it's around mindset. And again, that came from the combat and martial arts thing. But then one particular thing that changed my life, and you know what, I'm actually quite sad because remember this thing, I don't use it as often as I used to. About 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I've come across this. I've been really into like personal development for a long period of time. I'm not into it as much as now, so as much as I used to be. But it's one thing I came across is that thing of like, if I'm in a meeting, and there's a thing I don't want to do. So like you spoke about. So like, there's something I feel like I want to say, but something's holding me back. I should say it. If there's a girl that I like, I don't want to. I'm scared to talk to her. I should do it. So basically, just doing the opposite of what I feel at that time. And when I start applying that, that was the breaking step. The breaking step, because I'd be out, I'd be like, oh, I really like this girl, but like I don't feel confident or this or whatever to talk to her. That's the more the reason I should do it.
Love that.
And when I got past the first hurdle, you know how it is. The first one is the difficult step. Then after that, it gets easier. It's snowball effect.
The floodgates.
Yeah.
The floodgates open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that, man. It's it's mad. I feel like one of the best books. I did a talk to a semi-pro football team about anxiety and depression, and because they were struggling to score goals and whatnot. And I was basically saying the way to get over anxiety is very, very simple. I know you could speak to all these mental health, you know, specialists and whatnot, but it's very, very simple. And really, you just got to question the things that you're anxious about. Is it really that important? Is it really that deep? Is it really going to have an impact on the things that you care about most? Is your wife going to leave you because a presentation went bad? Are your kids going to abandon you because you didn't score a goal? And when you deep it like that and you look at other things that are going on in the world. You know, I could be in Israel at the moment. I could be in Palestine at the moment. And you think, wow, I just need to do a presentation on Monday. It helps you snap out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It helps you snap out
of it. It puts it in context.
Like, exactly. You just think, do you know what? Okay, nothing's bad's going to happen if I flop this. And again, it kind of goes back to that reversing. You think, what's the worst that can happen? It's not really that deep. Then the nerves just start running away from you. Now, yeah. I've done public speaking twice recently. First time ever.
Sick, man.
And I wasn't that nervous, man. So I didn't even prepare anything. I just wanted to speak straight from the mind and the heart. And it's because I just thought, well, what's the worst that's going to happen? Yeah, some people might think I'm a bit, I'm not maybe the man that I present myself as, but it is what it is.
Yeah. No, I get that. And I think the whole thing of like anxiety, being anxious about something is, I realized like I was doing that myself recently. And this is actually something I'm working on in terms of like anxiety for work they need to do. And it's kind of like, again, going over the first hurdle. So the first hurdle was like, I need to start being aware of when I'm thinking about the work they need to do. So when I start being aware, I was like, cool, I can think about something else. But what's happened for me is that I'd think like, cool, I got to do this thing, this thing, this thing. But I'm thinking about this on Sunday. But more time, I know I'm going to start working till Monday morning. And also if I did work on that Sunday, it helped my anxiety because I do extra work or whatever. But actually, that's not my working time for that particular thing anyways. Yeah. So I'd be violating my own boundaries. So I had to be like, you know what? There's no point in me thinking about this work now because I'm going to get to it when I get to it. And that just started leaving, like, I just started clearing up my mind space, man. So I stopped being, and the reason I started looking at it that way because I was also anxious about sleep. So I never used to have anxiety and sleep, but I was just to be clear, until 2-3 years ago. Now I'm good again. But what's changed is that, like, so what I was doing, and I've learned this through like a YouTube video that I watched, what I was doing is like, I'd think about how much time I've got left to sleep. And the more I think about it, the less time I have, because I just keep, it's like a loop in that.
Yep.
And when I start thinking about how much time I got to sleep, I just go to sleep, bro, changed it. No anxiety. So is it really anxiety? Is it, you know, it's anxiety, but it's self-inflicted.
Yeah, man. I always say the first step is self-care. Get yourself to the gym. Start off with going twice a week, three times a week, even once a week. You know, get your hours of sleep in a day. See how you can rectify the problem. Watch self-development videos. Address the issue first before seeking help.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is so much information out there. You know, people can have different arguments whether, you know, social media and the internet's good or bad for society.
Yeah, yeah.
But one thing it's great for is the fact if you want some information, you can readily find it on the internet.
It's
you can
look beautiful,
for perspectives.
Man.
You can get case studies, blogs, articles, internet pages. So you can fix something if you really want to do it. It's just how much do you want it? How bad do you want it?
Yeah, facts. The only thing that sucks about internet is the algorithms, man.
That's it.
Pissing me right off, man. It's just, the algorithm is the thing of like, yeah, because you keep feeding you the same stuff, you're going to stay on there for longer because it's where you like, no motherfuckers, I want something different. But thank God there's like not interested buttons. Like you can switch around if you really want to take the manual drive of what's going on. But like back in the day, I used to love internet more because like it'd be more random.
Yeah.
Now when I go in there, it'd give me stuff because I watched one video on something, they think I want to watch more.
Yeah.
I don't. It's just the algorithm's annoying.
It's interesting, right? I think it's really dangerous for people that have discriminatory views. So if you're racist or if you're sexist or whatnot, because if you're watching like a sexist video, you're just perpetuating your own negative beliefs and thoughts that are actually so outside of reality or what they should be. So yeah, I think that's where it's so, so dangerous.
Yeah.
Like I remember, like I think I was speaking to a girl who's white when all the George Floyd stuff was happening. My algorithm was obviously George Floyd sympathizers. Her algorithm, not because she's racist, but because of the people that she used to go to school with on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was all the people that, you know, were anti-George Floyd. I'm just thinking, what? I'm not seeing any of this stuff. And she's seeing nothing but this stuff.
Yeah.
And that just shows how strong the algorithms are.
Yeah, yeah. And it just feeds that. Well, that's the that's what algorithms are built for, right? So they say that they want people to stay on the platform for longer. Mm. So we'll give you the stuff you want to watch for longer. Mm. But you know, there's exceptional people that go like, actually, I want something random. Actually, you know what? Not even exceptional. I think there's loads of people that want something random, but they can't get it because it's not like, unless you, I don't know, incognito, YouTube incognito. Boom, bare random stuff just come up. Yeah, that's refreshing. Yeah. Do you know how refreshing that is?
Yeah, I can imagine.
But yeah, man. Is there anything else you want to touch on? Anything that we haven't touched on yet that would be important for the audience?
Maybe it would be good to touch on just trying to think of like uncomfortable topics that people don't really.
I'm up for that, you know. Like, I'm brave enough to like to touch on topics that people don't want to discuss.
Yeah, maybe just and I don't want to seem too negative, but the way that the world was going, right?
That's a great topic.
So you've got a lot of division at the moment. And this is such a silly point, but I think it's so reflective, right? I was watching Survivor. I was watching Squid Games, and you know, the women group up and they go, well we need to get the women together, it needs to be all women, we're only, you know, keeping the women in and whatnot. And it seems to be this really, really weird culture shift. I think it's basically due to feminism. You know, like a lot, and this is me going off in a tangent. At the start, a lot of these causes are for the right things, right? And they're great. BLM, for example, feminism. But then a lot of the times it goes too far.
And some people will take advantage of the movements as well for their own gain.
LGBTQ.
Yeah.
Brilliant to start with. But then the whole education system, sharing the same toilets, that's where I think most of us are a bit like, oh, okay, that's a little bit too far. Just being honest. BLM just turned out to be, you know, a massive fraud, and the person was raking in loads of money.
Yeah.
And weren't really pumping it into the community.
That was a wild story, though.
How wild is that?
Yeah, that was a wild story.
People are so power hungry, man, which is sad. And then with feminism, it's now gone from, yeah, we want women to have the same rights as men, which I think they should do. So now it's like, well, we're now anti-men. I don't need a man. And it's all very like hostile towards men. Yeah. We're only keeping the girls in. And I don't think men think like that. We don't think like that. We don't see it like that. We're more collective. We don't think, oh, we just need to have it as boys. Like, get the girls involved and whatnot. But a lot of girls are thinking, oh, no, we need to keep the girls in. I don't know where that has shifted. I feel like a lot of women just see men as all the same. They still think patriarchy, this, that. And in my opinion, in the UK, women just aren't oppressed. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Especially a Caucasian woman, for example. You're not oppressed. You're not. And it's like, are we now trying to, because we're not, you know, a threat of war, threat of violence, Lars Kushti, are we now just trying to find things to pick and argue about? Nuanced points.
Yeah, I think things are going too far a lot of the times. Like, things become extreme. I don't know where it comes from. As in, like, I don't know why people go to like such like extremes on like over proving a point. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I've always been fascinated with the chaos of the world and why, what, for what reason is it chaotic? Like, yeah, I'm not sure. But that's a great topic in terms of like the state of the world. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'm not even sure where the world is at the moment.
The world is nuts. The world is arguably on the brink of World War III.
I think
if you look at the Ukraine situation, you look at Taiwan, you look at Israel, Hamas. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's anything bad that's gonna be anything too crazy that's gonna happen.
Yeah,
but things are. It's kind of like a bit of a cold war. You know, you got the US supporting one side. You got Russia and China supporting the other side and whatnot.
Well, I think World War III, so maybe not in the literal definition of it, but I think World War III's been happening.
Yeah.
So like, and I've seen it everywhere, right? Like, I've seen it in the finance world. So crypto versus, you know, fiat currencies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Controlled, centralized versus decentralized.
Yeah.
So it should have been the other way around, decentralized versus centralized. Then you see like government, right? You got left and right. Like, for example, there was with the Israel and Hamas thing happening, and you know, Palestine, we had a conversation at work, and when we was talking about particular things, like, I saw the left and the right in the meeting room,
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
And it's so interesting, you know, we've got this like people kind of like in the middle, left and right, but I'm just seeing there's this, there's yin and yang like almost everywhere. And that's like yin and yang is kind of like the war, isn't it? It's like war between one and the other side.
Mm.
And I'm just seeing that in so many different places in the world. I'm like, is that the nature of how we are, or is that, can that be changed? You know, like there's all these different questions sometimes I ask, but I don't dwell on it for too long, but it's an interesting thing, man.
I think it's interesting. I think you're seeing so much left and right now.
Mm.
So much, more than I've ever seen in my life. I never thought I was ever going to be a political guy.
Mm.
Like, I never thought that would be me. But it's now coming to the point where the left has become so far stretched.
Mm.
I want so many changes from the way that things have always happened.
Do you know what I think? I think the left and right people should just get in a ring and just hear what, you know, just start, just, I don't know, man, but it's just, personally, I'm not in the middle. I'm not left. I'm not right. I'm none of those things.
Centralist.
I'm not even centralist. I'm just like, I'm off just a free spirit person of life. Yeah. A human, like I'm all about humanity. Yeah. Like, I believe in humanity. And I'm so tired. Like, even like the whole, like, I understand, look, I'm not going to say nothing. Like, there is a difference between man and woman, and I get the whole thing and whatnot. But even the whole, like, man versus woman thing at the moment, that's just exhausting. There's just so much stuff that's happening. And I'm like, yo, we can be better than this.
Yeah.
We can be better than this, like, way better than this.
I agree. And it's a weird one, right? Because, you know, I go on podcasts and I do debates and I talk about men's
matters. But I'm not judging. I think that's a beautiful thing, right? Just to be clear.
No. I get that. But I'm saying I also see the side of, like, there's too much collision.
Yeah.
I guess my goal with everything is to make everybody better.
Mm.
I want women to be aware of what men want, not be confused and turn up to podcasts and saying, oh, I do OnlyFans, but I make so much money and why should men not date me? Or why am I struggling to get dates as I get older? Like,
would you
equip yourself with the knowledge at least? If you want to ignore the knowledge, that's entirely up to you. But at least be aware of what men want. And men, stop complaining, stop moaning, stop bitching.
Mm.
Get in the gym.
Yeah.
Get in the gym. Start working out. You don't have to be in the gym. Go for a walk. Buy yourself a treadmill. I bought myself a little cheap treadmill so I can get my steps in now because I want to improve.
Mm.
Go get it. Go get a second job. Go spend an hour of your day for what you're truly passionate about and make it happen. Go hire a coach. Instead of spending, you know, £1,000 on bloody nights out in London every single month, maybe spend £500 and then use the other £500 to get a coach.
Yeah. You know what I was going to ask you? I think someone asked you on the other podcast. I don't know the name of that one, but I think the question was, would you ever work with women? Because I think what I realized as well, like some of the women that I've had conversations with, sometimes like they don't really hear the guy's perspective, or they don't really get like the understanding or the opportunity to understand a guy's point of view. So I think I'm saying, like, if you worked with women, like they get a chance to, like, if they wanted to work with you, they get a chance to like become better in their realm as well. Like so
2 points. One, women don't really need to understand men to attract men. Whereas we need to understand women to attract them because they're a lot more complicated.
So very simple. I get the attraction part, but beyond after the attraction, so when they're together, I think that's when it could be beneficial.
No. I think it's beneficial. Yeah. I'm just saying, initially, they don't really need to. They could probably even ride out a relationship just learning on the job, whereas we have to be competent. We need to know when to be forward, but not too forward to be creepy. We need to know all these things.
It's tough, man.
Because women have so many different attraction traits that they look for compared to us. We want pretty much, majority of men want fit, feminine and friendly, pretty much, right? That's all we want. And the second part, what was the question again?
The question is, like, would you ever work with women?
Would I work with women?
The benefit.
So I do work with women. I'm working with a Polish company at the moment, really, really cool, like a business development coaching workshop. It's going great. I love coaching women. I want to put that out there. This isn't, again, and this is what I hate about the world at the moment, because I have a coaching business tailored towards men, it does not mean I'm anti-women.
It's like this thing of like, it's like, well, especially, you know what it is, it's going to sound stereotypical, but like a lot of times I had this, sometimes with women in particular, not with men, with women in particular, if I'm in a conversation with them and I say, I like green, and they automatically say, what, you don't like red? I did not say that. So it's kind of that thing. It's like, because you're coaching, it doesn't mean you don't, yeah.
And they're not listening to understand. They're listening to react. Why do people do this? Again, why people need a coach or just someone that they can speak to. But yeah, I love working with women, bro. They're so much, they're easier to work with.
Mm.
They're so much like into the process straight away. They understand they've got to open up.
Mm.
And I feel like with men, don't get me wrong, when you get a man talking, you get a man talking. But at the start, they're so hesitant and whatnot. So yeah, I love
working
with men.
The whole like trust thing, just knowing
trust,
like,
is it worth it?
Yeah.
Whereas women are a lot easier to work with. The reason why I chose to work with men is because the need was there more.
I want to make a change, right?
I could have easily just done something gym related and let's admit, I'll be very, very honest with you, more money from my business, at least in the short term, than I will do with just working with men, because it is hard. However, I was more passionate about this because I understand the issues that I've had from not opening up and the negative impact that it's had on me, despite having an amazing friendship group, mum, dad, everything like that. I understand the issues that a lot of men are dealing with, the fact that 1 in 3 men are sexless. I feel like, you know, I've equipped myself with putting myself in uncomfortable situations to be good at, you know, the gym and get myself in shape and be good with girls and build meaningful relationships and have a good career. So I wanted to shed that knowledge to men and good, just being good with people and whatnot. I just seen that men need it more. The suicide rate is at an all-time high at the moment. Men are really, really, really struggling. And the problem is it's getting overlooked because men don't address the issue. They've got issues. They don't address it until they've got a problem. When they've got a problem, it's too late. And women just look at it like, well, you just need to open up. You just need to just go get the service. Go get the service. They're not truly understanding why they're dealing with these issues. Because they, again, it goes back to they don't really have to.
Just on the suicide rate, I looked at some statistics and it was really interesting around... Actually, women would attempt suicide more than men would.
Yep.
Just obviously, men would essentially like, complete or whatever the right terminology is.
Yep.
On that. And I think that just goes like, it just goes to show like how different we are as different genders and how our perspectives are different.
Well, I mean, you see it on podcasts and whatnot now. Look, I always say to people, like, because I've made comments about the fact that I went dating an OnlyFans girl. This clip went like, it did a few numbers and all these OnlyFans girls are commenting and whatnot. Like, I'm not saying it to shame you. I don't think any negatively of you. I have friends that do OnlyFans. One of my boys does OnlyFans. Girls that do OnlyFans, I don't look at them in any way less form. I'd even get with a girl that did OnlyFans. However, we have just got to think about all the, you know, the consequences that come from our actions in our younger life. Because when you're 20 and you're lit and that's all you care about, you want to go Ibiza, Dubai, live your life and whatnot. Yeah, no one cares. A lot of people want to be single in their 20s. But what about your 30s? Because life, a lot of people say life don't even start till you're 30. 30s, 40s. Because that's not the stuff that actually truly makes you happy in the long term. It's short-term happiness.
100%.
And we're so wrapped up into this. We're so wrapped up into like what's going to make us happy, like acutely. We're not thinking about the long term life. It's easy to say, you know, yeah, I've slept with that many people. Yeah, I've done all this. I've done all that. Done all this.
But it doesn't mean shit.
Exactly.
It really true. Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean shit. I mean, yes, like you might have more experience. So that means like when you're meeting someone, you might be more equipped to be a better person for them in many different ways. But at the end of the day, it's just, it doesn't really like mean anything really.
Exactly.
Because it's like, it's just about the person's values and, you know, the moral compass and how they show up in the world as well.
100%. But really, I also think that people do need to just think in their 20s and just think, you know, maybe it's not worth that back.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not worth a bit of money here and there. Like, if I do want a family, I maybe do have to adjust. Just be aware of what, you know, the other sex might want or whoever you're looking to date. What would your dream man really approve of that? Would your dream woman approve of that?
Yeah.
I feel like we just need to all be a lot more aware for the outcomes that we want.
I remember like last time when we spoke, there was a question of, are you the kind of man you want your daughter to marry? And I brought it in, and I think that's a beautiful question. And I think for men in general, this is, people can start reflecting because they go like, shit, like if I had a daughter, would I let her see a guy like me, or would I be happy for her to be with a guy like me? And that's just put shit in context, man. Like, it's just a different thing, man.
But people have to be honest.
Yeah.
If you're going out saying, you know, I want five wives and this and that, and then you're just gonna say, yeah, I wouldn't mind my daughter having a man like me.
But those people are full of shit. Exactly. But those people are full of shit. I know, you know why? Because like there's been a couple of times I asked this question, and like I've seen people that were capping. They'll be like, yeah, like yeah, yeah, like whatever. But I can feel it. I know they're capping. I know they're not. But that's also part of the survival, right? There's some people show up in the world, be like pretending like they're this, but it's not. They might look good, but they're not good.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that makes a big difference. Just going on a thing, going back to what you're saying, like remember saying like anything else to touch on, and he was talking about like things that are more like less debate or things that people hide away from. I've got a question for you before we start wrapping up. It's actually a really good question. I got it from a guy called Tommy. And it's like, what is your most controversial opinion that you hold?
Oh, damn. I feel like I've got a couple.
Yeah. You can most, do a couple. It doesn't have to be one, but it's just...
Most controversial opinion. You ask some good questions that take some time to think about.
That's cool. Like it's yeah. As in, like I think what I realize is, you know, like we don't send questions in advance, and a lot of this is free experience, right? So I can just questions come and go and whatnot. I think that's the beauty of it as well. But then I understand sometimes you might need some time because it might be a question. It's like it might even be a thing where you walk out and you go like, shit, like I could have mentioned that thing.
Yeah, I feel like
yeah, I think I notice people. You know, I notice it's so funny. So sorry, before you say it, yeah. Let me just clarify this, yeah. I notice people that aren't into understanding the difference between men and women and everything else. I've seen some people rephrase themselves when they go from I feel like to I think. And I know why, and I catch it all the time, yeah.
It's more matter of fact because we're more analytical and I prefer to be more matter of fact than speak about feelings, because when you speak about feelings, a lot of things are untrue. Because how you feel in the moment, the way you can feel about something today, it's not the same thing you feel about it tomorrow. So ruling with your feelings is actually extremely dangerous. I think it's a dangerous mindset to have. So I rephrase to I think that this isn't that controversial, but I feel like we should all be a lot more reflective and understanding of the way that our partner kind of like wants us to be. I feel like people should change for a relationship. I made a video about this the other day. People should change for a relationship.
That's beautiful, too, man.
Flipping right, you should change for a relationship. You can't just be the same way that you are when you're single. And you can't just be the same way that you were in your old relationship, because there might be things that you might be doing to make your partner uncomfortable. So you have to make compromises. We think we're in this world now where, you know, you see a lot of women, I don't need a man, like, no man's ever going to change me, blah, blah, blah. What happens if that change is going to make your life so much better, and it's going to make him feel a lot more at ease? And it's not just men to women, it's women to men as well. It's both of us need to make compromises to make things happen. Like, I know a massive controversial topic is like, you know, the women wearing a revealing outfit. That's probably one of my most controversial opinions. I feel like when you're single, do what you want. Obviously, the way that you address yourself in your social media may affect the amount of partners that, you know, willing to date you if you're just dressing wild. Because I know for me personally, I wouldn't be into that. Because I think as men, we're a bit like, we kind of like, regardless of, like, you know, how many people they slept with or not, we like that kind of like sense of like purity, and we don't like a girl to be too out there and whatnot. But like, yeah, the way that a girl dresses, like that should be a conversation that you have. Don't get me wrong, the guy shouldn't be saying, if you wear that, I'm going to dump you. But, babe, I'm not going to lie, just a little bit. That's such an uncomfortable conversation. Trust me, I've had it with my ex. And, you know, we're so, like, we use all these words now, controlling, misogynistic, all these buzzwords, which it's not.
But it's just a conversation. You're just communicating your, I guess, in the atmosphere, in the sphere of, like, the man work that people do, there's something called the frame. Like, I don't know if you've heard of it. Yeah, so you're just communicating the frame, like, you got this frame, and it's like, people don't want to enter, like, obviously she's going to have her frame as well.
Yeah.
So if people don't, it's kind of like boundaries, really, like, if people don't want to, like, you know, if you've got something, it's sometimes people go, oh, you're being insecure and whatever, and actually, it's more than that. It's not about being insecure, it's about...
being secure, bro.
Yeah, I think it's about being
Instead
secure.
Instead of letting it burn me up and going to do something mad because I'm just letting it fester and fester and I'm truly unhappy with it, because I actually care about you, because I actually love you, and because I want to be open with you about everything, and I'm not open with many people, I want to tell you that makes me feel a bit of a way. If you still want to wear it, but it makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. Yeah. Because trust me, it's not one-sided, because you're going to have... I know in my last relationship, there was plenty of stuff she weren't happy about and whatnot. But it's always better to address these uncomfortable situations. Don't hide behind the controlling and misogynistic and all these buzzwords. Like, have a conversation, talk about it. You tell me your side of you, and you know, then we'll move past it. But I feel like people don't want to have those conversations, or people don't think they need to make changes anymore, and they think I've got another option. Left, right, and center, and that's a dangerous mindset to have, because how are you going to be happy if you're always trying to chase the next best thing? If you found something that's truly worth fighting for, then have the uncomfortable conversations, move on from.
Yeah, no, that's powerful, man. I like that. I like that. Yeah, bro. If you got anything else to add, or
guys, go follow Step Up Coaching. Yeah. Posting some really, really good content from a lot of the podcasts I'm doing, like this one. So I'm buzzing for this to come out. But yeah, gents, honestly, make sure you go check out my website, book in a call. Whether it's just someone that you need to talk to, get some stuff off your chest, the discovery call, there's no time limit. It's a free call. And literally, I will show you the changes that you can make in a month. If you want to book, there's no obligation, but you will at least gain clarity on the next steps that you need to take in your life to improve, whether you're happy and you want to be happier, whether you're stuck in a rut and you want to just, you know, find the light and go towards the right direction in life. I'm there to help you. I've gone through all the trials and tribulations myself, so yeah, I'm looking forward to working with you, but make sure you go on my social media and book in a call.
Nah, that's lit, man. And when you get a chance to say something to the whole world, so 8 billion people at the moment.
Yes.
What would you tell them? What would be your message?
I think, guys, everybody just needs to chill the F out. Stop getting wrapped up into issues that aren't a concern of yours. And focus on your own relationships in life. Focus on the people that matter most and being the best to them. Focus on your career, focus on your physical health, the things that truly, truly matter in life, and stop having arguments over dumb stuff. If someone's just bringing you down, it's better to cut them out of your life. And if somebody that you really, really care about is in your life and things aren't the best or it's rocky, go speak to somebody, go get help, go get support, because those type of people don't come around all the time.
That's really beautiful, man. But yeah, bro, it's been a pleasure having you.
Always, bro.
Hopefully the camera's not broken this time around. So yeah, man.
Bro, yes, bro.
Nothing but love, man.
Appreciate it.